Khyber Barracks in Benghazi, symbolic bastille of the detested and demented Gaddafi regime in Libya. In the long human struggle, the idea of martyrdom presents itself with a Janus-like face. Those willing to die for a cause larger than themselves have been honored from the Periclean funeral oration to the Gettysburg Address. Viewed more skeptically, those with a zeal to die have sometimes been suspect for excessive enthusiasm and self-righteousness, even fanaticism. The anthem of my old party, the British Labour Party, speaks passionately of a flag that is deepest red and which has shrouded oft our martyred dead. Underneath my college windows at Oxford stands the memorial to the Oxford martyrs, Bishops Cranmer, Latimer and Ridley, who were burned alive for Protestant heresies by the Catholic Queen Mary in October 1555. "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the Church," wrote the Church Father Tertullian in late 1st century Carthage, and the association of the martyr with blind faith has been consistent down the centuries, with the faction being burned often waiting for its own turn to do the burning. I think the Labour Party can be acquitted on that charge. So can Jan Palax, the young Czech student who immolated himself in Wenceslas Square in January 1969 in protest against the Soviet occupation of his country. I helped organize a rally at the Oxford Memorial in his honor and later became associated with the Palax Press, a center of exiled dissent and publication, which was a contributor 2 decades later to the Velvet Revolution of 1989. This was a completely secular and civil initiative which never caused a drop of human blood to be spilled. Especially over the course of the last 10 years, the word martyr has been utterly degraded by the wolfish image of Mohammed Atta, a cold and loveless zombie, a suicide murderer who took as many innocents with him as he could manage. The organizations that find and train men like Atta have since been responsible for unutterable crimes in many countries and societies, from England to Iraq, in their attempt to create a system where the cold and loveless zombie would be the norm and culture would be dead. They claim that they will win because they love death more than life, and because life lovers are feeble and corrupt degenerates. Practically every word I have written since 2001 has been explicitly or implicitly directed at refuting and defeating those hateful, nihilistic propositions, as well as those among us who try to explain them away. The Tunisian, Egyptian, and Libyan martyrs were thinking and acting much more like Palax than like Atta. They were not trying to take life. They desired, rather, that it be lived on a higher level than that of a serf treated as an inconvenience by a moribund oligarchy. They did not make sordid and boastful claims about how their homicidal actions would earn them a place in a gross fantasy of carnal afterlife. They did not wish to inspire hoarse, yelling mobs tossing coffins on a sea of hysteria. Jan Palax told his closest comrades that the deep reason for his gesture was not just the occupation, but the awful apathy that was settling over Prague as that spring gave way to a frosty winter. In preferring a life-affirming death to a living death in life, the harbingers of the Arab Spring likewise hoped to galvanize their fellow subjects and make them aspire to be citizens. Tides will ebb, waves will recede, the landscape will turn brown and dusty again, but nothing can expel from the Arab mind the example and esprit of Tahrir. Once again it is demonstrated that people do not love their chains or their jailers, and that the aspiration for a civilized life, that universal eligibility to be noble, as Saul Bellow's Augie March so imperishably phrases it, is proper and common to all. The best encapsulation of the disordered sadomasochistic relationship between rulers and ruled in a closed society with a one-man regime is provided, as so often, by George Orwell, who, in Coming Up for Air, wrote of the processions and posters with enormous faces and the crowds of 1 million people all cheering for the leader until they deafen themselves into thinking that they really worship him, and all the time underneath they hate him so much they want to puke. Invited to deliver a lecture at the American University of Beirut with the suggested